So, the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America, a man who has the world's greatest intelligence apparatus at his disposal, is now just calling up to gab about rumors. The president also had a conspiracy theory about the voting machines used in Georgia, made by a company called Dominion.
That's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan, Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
If he wants to steal an election, he really needs to sound less like your grandpa complaining about his phone.
There used to be a button on the bottom. Now it uses my face. What'd they do with the button? Did they hide it with the ballots inside those voting machines? God, I hope they don't hide my face.
Now, the president also re-upped the theory that dead people voted, and Raffensperger hit him with a real-time fact check.
The other thing, dead people voted, and I think the number is in the close to 5,000 people.
The actual number were two people that were dead that voted. And so that's wrong.
Yeah. That's wrong. 5,002. It's a pretty big difference. Imagine if the Sixth Sense went like this.
I see dead people, but just two.
Raffensperger also cautioned the president not to believe everything he reads on the internets.
Mr. President, the problem you have with social media, people can say anything.
No, this isn't social media. This is Trump media.
Yeah, he's not getting this from social media. He's getting it from reliable sources like EagleFluffer69 at Parler.biz.
Because EagleFluffer has some shocking revelations. Because Raffensperger seemed hesitant to undermine democracy, the president gave him some PR advice.
There's nothing wrong with saying that, that you've recalculated.
Yes! Just say you've recalculated. It's not stealing and recalculating are totally different. Just like that scene in Pulp Fiction.
Everybody be cool, this is a
recalculation.
At one point, Honey Bunny, the president got so desperate, he even resorted to flattery with Raffensperger's lawyer, Ryan Germany.
Why don't you want to find this, Ryan? What's wrong with you? I heard your lawyer is very difficult, actually, but I'm sure you're a good lawyer. You have a nice last name.
First of all, I'll remind you, the guy's last name is Germany. The president, of course, big fan of Germany. He believes there were very fine lawyers on both sides. Secondly, he evidently thinks you're good at your job if your name is something he likes. Explains why his new physician is Dr. Onion Rings McJiggle Jugs, M-double-D. Throughout the call, Raffensperger and Germany were extremely patient with the sad loser. At one point, Germany tried to explain that people who had moved out of Georgia were, in fact, legally voting in the state for a very simple reason.
Everyone we've been through are people that lived in Georgia, moved to a different state, but then moved back to Georgia legitimately. And in many cases...
Really? How many people do that? So you mean they moved out and then they said, to hell with it, I'll move back. And, it doesn't sound like a very normal... You mean they moved out and what, they missed it so much that they wanted to move back in? it's crazy. Well,
it's not crazy. It's very nice down in Georgia. People go back to Georgia all the time. In fact, they're kind of known for it. Off the top of my head, I can think of at least three songs about people moving back to Georgia.
Georgia on my mind.
Midnight train to Georgia.
And
walking back to Georgia.
He didn't even wait for the train. He walked. That's not even mentioning
the devil went down to Georgia.
And I'm sure you're saying, sure, Stephen, the devil went down to Georgia. But he didn't come back to Georgia. Oh, really? Well, tell that to the actual 1993 sequel featuring Charlie Daniels, The Devil Comes Back to Georgia. The devil moved back to Savannah so he could vote for Biden. I mean, he's the Prince of Darkness, but he's very concerned about global warming. If the Earth's already on fire, hell's not going to be that impressive. Now, when the president's charm did not move Raffensperger, he switched to extortion, threatening Georgia's Secretary of State with prosecution if he and his lawyer Germany didn't give in.
You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk.
That is a big risk. I mean, you could end up being the president's cellmate. Because this call is probably illegal. A former Justice Department Inspector General tweeted, unless there are portions of the tape that somehow negate criminal intent, quote, I just want to find 11,780 votes, and his threats against Raffensperger and his counsel violate 52 U.S. Code 20511, adding his best defense would be insanity. Good luck with that. May I present Exhibit A.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Perfectly sane.
From everything on the tape, maybe there's some surrounding circumstances that exculpate him, but I think a criminal investigation here is absolutely warranted. He said, Joe, you need to go find 11,780 votes. I mean, someone who's committed to seeking the truth goes and wants to seek the truth. They don't seek a certain specific number of votes and threaten Georgia officials with criminal prosecution if they don't comply.
The conference is now connected.
Hello? Hello? If we could just go over some of the numbers, I think it's... Hello?
Here.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
No.
11,780 votes that we need.
No.
11,780 votes to win the election.
No.
Fellas. I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break, please.
No, sir.
Dead people.
No.
Phony ballots.
Whoa.
The women and men started screaming. Stacey Abrams. The internet dominion machines.
We did a hand retelling.
11,780 votes to win the election.
And
I need these votes. And I don't care how long it takes me. And there's nothing wrong. What a schmuck I was.
Well, we know that President Trump tried to call Georgia's Secretary of State 18 times before they connected in that phone call that has now been made public.
A Late Show has acquired audio of the president's first 17 calls to Raffensperger.
You've reached Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. Please leave a message at the beep.
Hello, Brad. This is Donald Trump.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
Call me back.
Hey, Brad. It's your president. And I was, just golfing, thinking about you. So I wanted to see if, you know, you wanted to talk about a possible coup. Call me back. Bye.
Brad, guess who?
Dead people voted.
Hey, Brad, this is your president. I don't know if that last message went through the beep, was sort of came at a weird time, but I just wanted to talk. Lynn Wood, who I think did some work down in your state, by the way, he says Jeffrey Epstein is still alive, so call me back if you want to discuss. Bye-bye.
Me. Again.
Pick up.
Hey, Brad, it's your president, your favorite president, by the way, and I'm starting to think maybe screening my calls, you know. Normally, as president, you don't have to wait so long to get called back. But just wanted to discuss some things, possibly, if you found any votes underneath, you know, your bed, or maybe they got lost in a Chick-fil-A on Sunday, because, you know, they probably put the votes there in the Dumb Christians don't eat chicken on Sunday, so call me back, okay? Not asking anymore. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, this is, Big Jim.
Are you there?
Brad, it's your president. They're stealing the election, and right now Sidney Powell is headed to a food court, and she plans on giving a very strong argument to Sabaras, okay, which is above the Supreme Court. So if I didn't, you know, I know you're getting death threats, and, you know, just ignore those messages from me. But we're in a very strong, tough position right now. And if you don't help us, so help me, Trump, I will end you, end your family, and burn down your house. But not in a threatening extortion way, okay? Just in a sort of presidential toughness way, okay? So call me back if you want to live to see tomorrow. Bye.
Brad, I don't like you. I think you're a loser.
Brad, this is your president, and I need your help, okay? You haven't called me back, and we're getting to sort of... I wouldn't call it desperate, but Mike Pence will f*** you off, okay? If you do this for us, he's... Right, Mike? Mike has already agreed. We need this done. I can't leave the White House. They're going to prosecute me. And, you know, but feeling very strong. We're feeling very tough and very strong. So just call me back, and Mike Pence will service you for your service. So thank you. Bye.
I can't stand
angry at you. Red, call me.
Person, woman... Man, camera,
Brad.
Pick up the phone. This is Donald.
The mailbox you're trying to reach is full of.
Hey, Brad, it's me. The 18th time. I'm wondering if you would do a little crime. Recount.
Have a few tricks left up your sleeve. Smithers, boil some coffee. We're not lit yet.
Yes, we are. Come on, boys. The old guy's finished.
Wait! Come back! You can't do this to me! I'm
Donald Trump!
Thanks this week for the
song
from
Kraftwerk, Ray Charles, Gladys,
Knight,
the Pips,
Jim
Croce,
Jolly
Daniels,
the
Gregory Brothers,
a
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon,
Wolf
Blitzer,
Donald Trump
Jr., James Comey, Kristen Welker,
Jimmy
Kimmel, Seth Myers, Ted Cruz, Stephen Colbert, Carl Bernstein, Brad Raffensperger, Brian
Pumpkin
from Pulp Fiction, J.L. Corvin,
and
Montgomery Burns.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
So, this is what the country has come to today. This is what it is. I'm handing out great medals of freedom. One of the great, and by the way, nobody loves freedom more than me. That's why I have a ticket to a non-extradition country for January 20th. But nobody loves freedom more than me, and it's so great we don't have the media in here today. So great. You know, I like you a lot better than Acosta, I can tell you that. But we're handing out medals of freedom in private today. This is what this country has become, what the fake news has done. We had, I would say it was one of the greatest patriotism parties yesterday that the country's ever seen. Okay, I think it was a beautiful success, okay? Other than when Mike Pence totally betrayed me. It was so beautiful. And believe me, I would do one of those Godfather 2 kisses on Mike Pence, but I think he'd like it too much. So sorry, Mike, no kiss for you from the great Trump. But we're handing out the medals in private, so I want to announce the winners, okay? Devin Nunez, despite having a name that sounds like an illegal Mexican, you've turned out to be one of my most loyal and, without question, my dumbest person ever. So thank you. Jim Jordan, okay? So loyal, okay? I don't like guys who don't wear suit jackets normally, but I'll let you get away with it because, I tell you, I knew you, I could trust you. When you didn't say anything about the Ohio State wrestling sex abuse, I said, this guy's going to let me do whatever I want, so thank you. And then a few others. Matt Gaetz, you big-headed moron, thank you for being the ultimate Florida guy. And tell your son, Nestor, that we say aye, okay? And then we have a few posthumous, or the dead people, okay? Jeff Epstein, one of the greats, he's getting a medal. And the serial killer in California who recently died, he killed like 80 people. Tremendous record. He's getting one. Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the Honey Drippers in the house tonight. And they just got back from Washington, D.C. I think they got something they want to say. Thank you.
No, I won't be attending Sleepy Joe's fake inauguration. No, I won't be doing that. Inauguration, by the way, is now known in MAGA circles as the N-word. So nobody, it's the only N-word you won't hear at a Trump rally. So no, we don't acknowledge it. So I won't be there. And my wife, Menagerie, also won't be there. Okay, we're not going to. This is a total disgrace. It is a crime against our great people. Okay, 75 million great Americans who respect blue lives, unless they try to arrest them and then all bets are off, who love freedom, okay, except when it applies to African Americans and LGBTQ, and people who just want their country back so that they can urinate in the hallways of Congress and, you know, assault people. It's called free, it's called liberty. Okay, it's called liberty. And not like the WNBA team. They should all be in jail. But it's about great. Oh, no, they're not the ones. Mike, you like the WNBA. Who's the one? Who's the team that's been mean to Loeffler? You know, the ugly Ann Coulter. Who, you don't know? You know, okay. Oh, Mike, still mad at you. But thank you for not doing the 25th Amendment, though. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I know it was tough. It was tough. Our vice president, even though he knew he would be surrounded by strong, aggressive, angry young men if he did the 25th Amendment, he still said no, despite that very powerful temptation. Right, Mike? You didn't do it. So at least somebody has some loyalty left. But no, we're not going to the inauguration. It's the new N-word, and it's the only one we don't say. So 12 more days of fun with Trump, and we'll see what happens.
The greatest hoax in history. Yeah.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Is it true that you threw a tiny baby temper tantrum and stormed out of your infrastructure meeting after learning that Nancy Pelosi accused you of being, quote, engaged in a cover-up?
I don't do cover-ups. This meeting was set up a number of days ago at 11 o'clock. All of a sudden, I hear last night they're going to have a meeting right before this meeting to talk about the I word.
The what?
The I word.
Impotent?
The I word.
Irrational?
The I word.
Idris Elba?
The I word.
Oh, impeachment.
Can you imagine?
Well.
The whole thing with Russia was a hoax. And I will tell you, my lawyers say, you don't have to do this. You can use presidential privilege. You don't have to let your lawyers and all of your staff testify. Would you recommend it? Well, you can be transparent or you can be tight.
Sweetie, you seem riled up. Would you like a hard candy or maybe a ventilator?
These people were out to get us.
Well, if I may, Mr. President.
Some days, Democrats can be a pain trying to circumvent. It's hard to be the fake president. What crazy sounds you make. Is it a substance that you're sniffing? Or could it just be a sinus thing? Life just ain't rosy. Nancy Pelosi's creeping on your TV, acting shady. Tried to drop Mueller, thought this was over, but she's got your number now and you feel under attack. Just keep breathing and breathing and breathing and breathing. You know they might impeach. Keep on breathing. Just keep wheezing, seething, panting, grimacing. Your teeth are falling out. Keep your teeth in.
Presidential privilege.
You clown and mess around. Joking about subpoenas they give. Invoking so much executive privilege. But now things got you down. Thought that your Fox friends would never cheat. Why they all crushing on Mayor Pete?
Ooh, girl.
They just dissed Donald. Now he's dissed Ronald. He's breathing like my old man's carburetor. Ew. He cries no fair and claims he's transparent. I guess you could say he's right, cause we see through him every time.
Madam Speaker, dozens of House Democrats, along with multiple legal experts and my Aunt Linda, have found clear grounds for impeachment. Where do you stand?
I don't think we should impeach a president for political reasons.
How about just for fun?
We have to see what the facts are. I mean, this is not a day at the beach. Let's hope that a level of maturity here will set in, because the American people expect results.
Just impeach him, impeach him, impeach him, impeach him.
Well, let me say.
Excuse me.
They say the only way you can reach him is impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. But we know it's what they want. Just impeach him.
Sir, you tweeted a video of Speaker Pelosi, which was clearly doctored to make her appear drunk or impaired. Isn't that a cheap shot?
What they've done is abuse. The President of the United States engaged in a cover. Oh, let's call Russia. Maybe they get it's a hoax.
Just keep tweeting, retweeting, misleading, and cheating. Gross.
I hear a lot of phlegm when he's breathing.
Just impeach him, impeach him, impeach him, but
I'm tired of hearing them say impeach him.
Just do it already, let's go get a drink.
With your skies falling, just keep stonewalling.
What the hell is going on with his breathing?
What's he been huffing? Is she just loving
him?
God bless the United States.
Girl.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
What? Book. Book.
Look.
Radio.
Radio.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Turn on the news replaces Donald Trump Theater at 3 p.m. Thursdays on WGXC after the inauguration. Picking up bits and pieces of the week's news and dropping them in a fictional radio network with computerized news readers, aggregated reporting, and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News every Thursday at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you. Wave Farms WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Karen Werner of Montague, Massachusetts. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Trump's insurrection requires his immediate removal. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Congress convened Wednesday to perform the largely ceremonial counting of Electoral College votes and to declare Joe Biden the winner of the 2020 presidential election. Donald Trump countered with a rally that he had been planning for weeks. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there, will be wild, he tweeted.
Let's have trial by combat.
That's Rudy Giuliani, Trump's disgraced personal lawyer, crowing from the rally podium.
Stand up and fight.
Trump's son, Don Jr., shouted as he threatened congressional Republicans unwilling to support overturning Biden's election.
We're coming for you, and we're going to have a good time doing it.
After President Trump's speech, he directed the raging crowd to march on the Capitol, where the counting of votes was underway. Trump's mob swarmed the Capitol, overwhelmed police, then smashed windows and breached heavy locked doors. With Confederate and Trump flags waving, the violent insurrectionists rampaged through the halls of Congress, both the House and the Senate debating the challenge to Arizona's certified electors abruptly recessed as chaos descended on the heart of American democracy. Congress members grabbed gas masks from under their seats as tear gas was deployed. It's unclear if any of the staunch Trump supporters in the House refused to don the masks. Soon after, senators fled, marauders flooded their chamber. Guards barricaded the doors to the House in an armed standoff with Trump's insurrectionists. Capitol Police shot and killed one of the intruders, 35-year-old Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt of San Diego. Her social media posts suggest a strong belief in the fringe QAnon conspiracy theory. Three others reportedly died in D.C. of unspecified medical emergencies. Several dozen people were arrested. The Capitol's minimal security, with the entire Congress and the vice president present, was shocking. Videos circulated showing a handful of Capitol police briefly resisting the marchers, then opening the security perimeter, admitting the angry crowd. Inside, several police officers posed for selfies with the domestic terrorists who were taking control of the building. The violence was predicted. It had already erupted in an earlier Trump protest on December 12th, where several people were stabbed. When the head of the violent group, the Proud Boys, was arrested in D.C. on Monday, he was carrying high-capacity ammunition clips for semi-automatic rifles. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser made an unheeded request to the Pentagon to deploy the National Guard this week. Compare Wednesday's lax police presence to the major militarized mobilization in response to this summer's protests against systemic racism, police brutality, and in defense of black lives. Then no expense was spared to garrison the Capitol with fully armed police, SWAT teams, and National Guard troops. Trump's former Attorney General Bill Barr ordered a Pentagon-coordinated assault on peaceful protesters to clear the streets so Donald Trump could pose with a Bible before a church. One can only imagine what would have happened if thousands of people of color and Black Lives Matter supporters rampaged through the Capitol during a joint session of Congress. Bree Newsom Bass was tweeting up a storm during the insurrection. She spoke to us the day after on Democracy Now.
One of the things that we saw throughout the day yesterday were people like myself who have been present for various protests or, you know, and mostly people of color, Black people, noting the obvious difference in terms of how police, you know, have a coordinated, overtly militarized response to any kind of protest that is challenging racism in policing or racism in the government versus what we witnessed yesterday. And I think that what we saw yesterday is just another one of these kind of flashpoint moments in history that just represents a culmination of everything that came before it, and really shines a spotlight on everything that is fundamentally wrong. And one of those things is clearly policing.
The law specifying Congress's counting of the Electoral College votes passed in 1887 following the controversial 1876 election that pitted Republican Rutherford Hayes against Democrat Samuel Tilden. Tilden won the popular vote, but Hayes engineered an Electoral College win by agreeing to withdraw federal troops from southern states. On the floor of the Senate, after Trump's violent mob had been removed and proceedings recommenced, Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin invoked the memory of that devastating compromise of 1877.
The senator from Texas says, we just want to create a little commission. 10 days, we're going to audit all the states, particularly the ones in contention here, and find out what actually occurred. And it really draws its parallel in 1876, Hayes and Tilden. Don't forget what that commission, that so-called political compromise, achieved. It was not just some ordinary governmental commission. It was a commission that killed Reconstruction, that established Jim Crow, that even after a civil war which tore this nation apart, it re-enslaved African Americans, and it was a commission that invited the voter suppression we are still fighting today in America.
Throughout his life, Trump has fanned the flames of white supremacy. He owes his one-term presidency in large part to his cynical exploitation of racism and fear. Yet as Trump's followers attack the Capitol, the final U.S. Senate race was called for Georgia Democrat John Ossoff. The other Georgia Democrat, Reverend Raphael Warnock, won his Senate race hours earlier, becoming the first African-American Democrat elected to the Senate from the South. These victories returned the Senate to Democratic control. They were the result of years of grassroots organizing, painstakingly registering Georgia voters and overcoming generations of violence, Jim Crow voter suppression, and massive voter purges. Trump will soon be gone, but will the cancer of Trumpism remain? Look to the lessons of Georgia for a glimmer of hope that the power of grassroots organizing can overcome racism and hate. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 34 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 18. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 35 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 19. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barris.
I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty this disgusting.
Un-American behavior is 1 year in prison, or $10,000 fine, or both. Anyone making a sick, subversive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under Edict Number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, everybody. All right.
Look, I must have a star on my door.
Or better still.
A door.
Swing doors, huh?
Look, okay, doors. Swing. On the window. One, two, three, sleep. Poetry. That'll work. Come, sweet slumber, and shroud me in thy purple cloak. Doesn't even rhyme. Is that my tease made?
Paranoid.
I can't stand tea.
Chicago.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42. Time for the 11 o'clock report. First of all, the headlines. Welcome wagon runs over newcomer. Good humor man slays 10. Pen pal stabs pal with pen. Pediatrician dies of childhood disease. And Jacques Cousteau drowns in bathtub accident. We'll be back with full details in just a moment after this word from Cooley's Cigarettes.
You know something, Bill? These cigarettes of mine, they taste like crap. Say, Dan. Crappy taste. Why don't you try the cool, refreshing taste of Cooley's? Cooley's, eh? You smoke them? Nope, found them in the subway toilet.
And now back to the news. History's 135th heart transplant operation was performed yesterday in New York City. One unusual note, the heart transplant took place in Central Park at midnight, and the donor's family was not consulted. Dr. Timothy Leary's brother, really Leary, today announced the formation of a new religion, which teaches that when you die, your soul goes to a garage in Buffalo. Police today arrested Margaret Fulcrum, a 45-year-old unregistered nurse, and charged her with accepting collect obscene telephone calls. Famed television announcer Charlie the Tuna was found dead today of mercury poisoning. Sorry, Charlie. Good news from the Far East. No one was killed in Vietnam today. However, three people died of old age at the Paris peace talks. And former French President Charles de Gaulle rose from the dead today, just to show everyone he could really do it. Well, that's it from the news desk for the latest in sports. Here's Biff Barf. Good evening, sport fans. Biff Barf here in the Biff Barf Sportlight Spotlight, picking them up and barfing them right back at you. I call them the way I see them, and if I don't see them, I make them up. No games today. However, we do have a few late football scores still coming in from the far west. Guam Prep, 45. Marshall Islands, 14. Mindanao A&M, 27. Molokai, 10. Caltech, 14.5. MIT, 3 to the 4th power. William and Mary, 6. Nick and Tony, 105. And here's a partial score. Stanford, 29. Well, that's it, kids. That's it from the scoreboard in the world of golf today in the Fats Domino Desert Classic. First round leader Willie Waterhazard had a birdie, two eagles, and a duck this afternoon. Meanwhile, the favorite Gary Fairway was way behind, scoring a record 609 strokes on the front nine when he accidentally stepped aboard a bus to Minneapolis while playing a difficult lie from the highway. Well, that's it, sport fans. Join me tomorrow afternoon on the ever-widening world of sports when I'll be presenting the National Two-Man Pall-Bearing Championships. And next week, I'll be a guest hunter on American Sportsman. Six of us are going to kill a rabbit. Now, with the latest in weather, here's Al Sleet, your hippy-dippy weatherman.
Hey! Hey, Posner! Hey, what you call your possum? Al Sleet, hippy-dippy weatherman, brought to you by Parsons Pest Control. Do you have termites, water bugs, and roaches? Parsons will get rid of the termites and water bugs and help you smoke the roaches. Present temperature is 68 degrees at the airport, which is stupid because I don't know anyone who lives at the airport. Downtown, it's much hotter. Downtown's on fire, man. Now, if you'll take a look at our national weather map, you'll see that we don't have one. So try to picture last night's map in your mind. Remember all those lines and numbers. Weather was dominated by a large Canadian low,
Which is not to be confused with a Mexican high, eh? Tonight's forecast, dark. Continued mostly dark tonight. Turning to widely scattered light in the morning. That's it from Al Sleet. Don't forget, if you don't like the weather, move.
Thanks, Al. Always a great report from Al Sleet. I think we all know by now Al's been into the mushrooms. Well, that just about wraps it up on the 7 o'clock report. Join us again tomorrow night at 9 for the 11 o'clock news. In the meantime, stay tuned for a brand new comedy series, Double Trouble, the story of Siamese twins joined at the lips. And the merry mix-ups that occur when one gets married and the other has root canal work the same day. Good night, all.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, man.
Who's it?
Yari!
Yari!
Okay, I'm
When it's springtime, I feel like, when it's wintertime, I feel like I'm in a cage and I'm all stuck and I can't get out. But when spring comes, I feel like they let me free so I can just do anything.
Yuri, I'm gonna get you.
No, you're it.
In just spring, when the world is mud luscious, the little lame balloon man whistles far and wee. And Eddie and Bill come running from marbles and piracies. And it's spring, when the world is puddle wonderful. The queer old balloon man whistles far and wee. And Betty and Isabel come dancing from hopscotch and jump rope. And it's spring, and the goat-footed balloon man whistles far and wee.
Balloon, balloon.
Spherical with the biggest grin I've ever seen.
That was Robin Hitchcock with Balloon Man on WGXC 90.7 FM.